Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Oh, Dana, it feels like this ought to be Saturday. Only because I'm pretty sure I've been doing work. You know, it was so nice to have a four-day weekend so that I could do work over those 4 days of weekend and bring it back down to more like a two-day weekend.
That's hilarious, man. Yeah. Well, you have like five jobs, man. So
it does feel that way, you know. It's funny because I was just talking to a past president, Linda Williams, because I was helping her record her breakout session for the conference. And she had been, you know, again, president of CISFA back in the day. And we were just talking on things before we started rolling and recording. And I happened to just say, you know, I will both be elated and joyful or happy. I probably use some other word. And a little bit sad when my presidency year is over.
So you're going to be happy sad.
Exactly. I mean, you know, sad to see the year go, knowing that. And I know that if we brought out Michael Deere, the past president right now, he'd have the same thoughts because, again, COVID hit right before his conference. Of all the things that you had planned to do, you know, I have this little list that I keep in my task management of all the things that I had hoped to accomplish as president. You know, I mean, it was pretty sizable. You know, there's just so many things that I'd hoped that I would actually get to. You know, like regular meetings with the exec board meetings every month, and, you know, check-ins with the committees and have super active committees. And, you know, we certainly had active committees and stuff, but it was certainly a case also that we didn't quite get done as much as we thought that we would. You know, I mean, the COVID hit, we had to change focus on the conference. That made a big difference. So I told her, I'll be both the happy and the sad person at the same time.
Right. It's bittersweet.
Exactly. Now, I just hope whoever my successor is, that we'll know probably next week. I don't know if I'll be allowed to say it on the show, though. We may have to save it for conference.
Okay.
Unless we post it. If we post it to the website, then we'll announce it on the show. My successor and then the rest of the incoming 2021-2022 board, as elections ought to be wrapping up if it hasn't already wrapped up.
But isn't it amazing, Dennis, how fast the year has, your presidency.
Yes, it is, because, I mean, it started July 1st, but obviously the way we're structured, we make our May exec board meeting the transition meeting. So, in a sense, the May meeting, and then the next one is a July meeting, is the last one for the outgoing board and the first one for the incoming board. So the incoming people actually kind of are onboarded earlier. And the idea is that when we've done it in person, at some point, it's like normally our exec board meetings for everyone is a two-day ordeal. Day one is all state chancellor's office updates. They may have some presenters from the chancellor's office to talk to us about budget, legislation, etc. Day two is the CISFA exec board meeting. When we do the May meeting, though, we have a day three. Day three being nothing but the transition stuff. So the old vice president of federal issues will talk with the incoming one about, you know, expectations and what to do. Same for the treasurers, because we have three levels of treasurers, treasurer-elect, treasurer, and past treasurer. Obviously, there's someone new coming in and then one going out. So we always have like three or four at a time. We have them all sit down and talk about the fiscal responsibilities for the association and secretaries and regional reps. And so they kind of we do pass along knowledge and all that. But yeah, so it's like been more than slightly more than a year that I've been cranking this out. And so it you know, come June 30th, I'll be glad to hand over the throne.
Like, do you literally hand over the crown or the scepter?
There is a gavel.
Okay.
The gavel is somewhere with our current past president, Mike Deer.
Okay.
Because again, he would have at his conference. Ceremonially you hand over the gavel at the conference, even though officially the president doesn't take over till July 1st. So
got you.
He's always threatened to send it to me. I'm like, no, don't. Let's not create extra costs if we don't need to. That's fine. We can live without it. You hold on to the gavel until we get to whoever my successor is. And maybe we'll meet during the summer or something. You know, me, him, and our and the new person, and and we'll slowly hand it from him to me, and then the new person will tug it away. All very symbolic of things, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's been an interesting year. You know, again, I had some higher aspirations to do a lot more stuff, but COVID just, it was one of those things that I wanted to be cognizant of our other people on the board and their work. You know, mm-hmm. I know, for example, one of our board members who is not too far away from us in another region here. She's on a 4-10 schedule, but as she says, that doesn't hold her up from working a fifth day, of course.
Of course.
And then sometimes putting hours over a weekend.
Yeah.
And unfortunately on her campus without much administrative relief, you know, which is my understanding of saying you're probably not getting paid for it and they're not trying to help you backfill anything. Mm. Hard to believe a college would do that. Just calling you all out there, you cheap, you know, who's out there as far as when it comes to funding a financial aid office. I didn't want to then, you know, overpress people because I thought of, you know, well, we could really do a lot more with our website. We already made the big move from our old website provider to this new one about a year or two ago. Thankfully, again, to Mike Deer, current past president, and our current webmaster, David Shook. So that was a great big project. But we still have stuff lurking in the background that was brought over we've never, like, published. So we, you know, still have pieces and parts to put together. And then we talked about doing, you know, some fiscal remanagement, and we did do quite a bit. We moved some bank accounts. We used to have bank accounts at two banks, moved it all to one, make it a lot simpler on the treasurers. But there's always some extra steps there. You know, trying to dig up some archives. One of the things I wanted to do because, again, because of the way our association works, it used to always be that the president's address for their school would be kind of like the permanent mailing address. But about 5 or 6 years ago, we decided that was very inefficient because there were people that were like presidents or treasurers from years before still receiving mail on behalf of the association.
Mm.
So we'd made a agreement with, at that time, Cynthia, the director of financial aid down at our LA district office, to serve as the address for that central aid unit, to serve as the official address for CSFA. And so it's worked out pretty well. But it was one of those things that took some time to get to work. And for me, you know, it was, you know, during these times, it's actually gone the other way. You know, it's like if we're going to have paper checks mailed, now we have them mailed to the school of the treasurer again, who actually goes to their campus, who can then pick them up and make the deposits. Because otherwise, if checks go to our district office, just like our campus, Dana, you know, they're not all there all the time. No. You know, to put it nicely, they're kind of closed.
Yes.
So, yeah, nothing getting done. So it is one of those type of things that, you know, you have to kind of be aware of. And so, yeah, you know, I mean, it is what it is. My past president year, at least the focus on that is always looking at bylaws and trying to do some of that cleanup. And that's fine with me. That's an easy peasy thing. Also, running the election, so that's where I have to go, you know, beat the bushes and find people to run for the next year's board. And then some training things, you know. Usually the past president oversees the training committee. So if and when we do events outside of the conference, that, you know, that'd be my job at that point.
Okay.
And in another year, in July of 2022, I'll finally be released from this indentured servitude. You know, my contract will be up.
It'll be up. Now, when that day comes, is your contract going to like go up in smoke? Like, is it going
to
like...
I'm going to find some paper to write it out and I'm going to burn it on camera. We'll do a live stream.
yeah, I like that.
What's brewing? That'll be like episode 200 at that point, you know?
Oh, my word. Oh, my goodness.
Assuming, you know, the incoming president will allow me to do this, you know, because we'll hit almost episode... I think we'll do episode 100 somewhere close to the end of my presidency.
Okay.
You know, as we're going right now. So, mm-hmm. and then, mm-hmm. you know, if we do two a week, it's about 100 a year. You know, we'll be close again on the other side of it. Come the end of it. So there'll be like 200 episodes of this in the books at that point.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to hopefully live streaming during the conference. I think that would be.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Oh, let's bring up some updates on conference while we're at it. yeah. So we are working that out. What I think it's going to end up being, Dana, there'll be some kind of Zoom that we will share the link with attendees only, of course. Who will be able to join us in probably more webinar fashion or such. You know, we may let them pop up on screen, but we'll have to keep them muted unless we want to unmute someone that wants to say something. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll be, it looks like we'll be able to do it. We'll probably do it not for the full hour. We may do some pre stuff and, you know, talk and all that maybe for the first 5 to 10, 15 minutes. But we'll advertise it as kind of like a 12:15 to 12:45 thing. Whereas most people's sessions will end right at 12, you know, maybe they'll want to run and get a snack, something to drink. And then, you know, same thing at the end, get prepped for the start of the breakout sessions that start at 1. So we're going to work it all out. But, you know, we may just do the full hour. And again, people can join us as they want. It's more of a, you know, a loosey-goosey thing, kind of like today.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You
know, nothing on the rails. Everything just running off the rails.
Those are the best shows, man.
We're going to find out if they really are. I would look at our ratings, but only one person has rated us so far. So if you are out there listening to us, please go ahead and if you're on your Apple or your Google stuff, throw in some stars or whatever. Just so we know that there are people out there listening and all. Because they are all kind of spread out. The last time I checked our stats, we had people from Texas and Oklahoma. And a normal Washington, D.C. area that's like, you know, Virginia, Maryland, and all that. So maybe maybe our Big Brother organization, NASFA, I don't mean that Big Brother as in, you know, Orwellian stuff, everyone.
Oh, okay.
You know, you know, they're not that kind of controllers.
Yeah.
Must speak well of them, please. It's you know, maybe they're listening to us, too, because they know the competition's hot on their heels. Because, you know, everyone wants to fill the podcast space on financial aid, and mm-hmm. more specifically, community colleges, and more specifically, just California.
Just California.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm afraid there's going to be a CISFA 2 organization out there somewhere.
Oh, man.
Lurking to take over us.
Now, that does sound conspiratory. Yes. Yeah.
Let's talk conspiracy. No, I'm just kidding. Let's not talk.
No, man.
That's not what this show's about.
You know, it would be a different type of show, though.
It certainly would, but I don't know if there's enough conspiracy-minded people and conspiracies you can come up with in financial aid.
Oh, boy.
Think of it that way, you know? You know, any other topic, yes. You know, zoos, I'm sure there's some conspiracy there. Anything in politics. Why did they build that bridge there? Why does that house look like that? Whatever happened to that guy who was on the city council? All that kind of stuff, but... Financial aid? I don't know.
I'm gonna pitch it to you and everybody okay. listening. So, what does FAFSA really stand for?
Wow. Well, if I'm supposed to believe, you know, every other conspiracy, uh-huh. one of those F's in FAFSA mm-hmm. is certainly Freemasons, right?
There you go. And then with, so on the paper version.
Freemasons are funneling student aid. Or I mean, it's literally something like
see,
that.
There you go. See, all it takes is just that one, right? That one idea.
Yeah. Well, uh-huh. Well, that's out in the wilderness now. So, you know. After all, they created the eye on the back of the dollar bill in the yes. triangle.
There we go. Yep, there we go. Yes. See, we're going down the rabbit hole already. Yeah, man.
Exactly. That's why I think the only thing we could do, Dana, here, play a little music, move ourselves on to another segment and maybe another topic. How's that?
Yes, yes. And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Yeah, let's refill and act like nothing happened, everyone. You heard nothing.
Nothing.
This last few minutes here.
Yes.
Well, so we were talking a little on conference. I'll tell you that our conference agenda is just about cleaned up and ready to go. People will start who have registered for conference. Getting emails next week about how you can preview which sessions are set for what time and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. We had to do a little shuffling because we are normally doing between 3 and 4 breakout sessions per time slot. Mm-hmm. But due to technical limitations, we had to spread out the live ones, the ones who are going to be doing it live, so that we had no more than 2 at any given time. And that's only because the back end people can only manage so many live ones versus more or less the pre-record is like hit a button.
Right.
And then the presenters will still be in the background live listening, you know, watching the show mm-hmm. and then watching the Q&A or the chat box so they can respond. So
they can answer. Right.
Uh-huh. So that's all set up. But there were some limitations. So we had to move some of the stuff around. But otherwise, the show is all intact. We've got everyone and their presentations ready to go. Our keynote all ready to go.
That is so awesome.
We'll have some giveaways, both me and Mike Deer. We've been kind of co-working the group as far as presenters and keynotes and stuff. We've got both of us boxes of books from Nina G, our keynote person, that we'll send out to those who were like the first 100 people or so that registered for conference.
That is awesome. Now, I have a question for you, Dennis. Mm-hmm. So before the show, we were talking about some of the new books that you have in your collection. Oh, will yeah. you provide any type of like listing for conference goers on like good books to read or, you know, literature to read?
Probably maybe like after conference, maybe we'll do a little more posting of information of that on the website.
Okay.
Like a president's outgoing corner, president's bookshelf. I like that. Okay, that's a great idea.
Yeah. That is awesome. Yeah, you know, because I know, you know, throughout our time doing the podcast, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, we mention a lot of books and some mm-hmm. of our guests mention books. And I think that would be good to have that listing for conference goers, you know, in case they're, you know, interested or want to add to their libraries.
Good idea. You know, I think in that case also we need to have like a little section there called like Dana's Music Library.
Heck yeah.
You know,
I like that.
It'd look like it'd be like a picture of like, you know, like a little cube full of LPs.
Oh, absolutely.
Not that anyone knows what LP means. Those are records, everybody.
Records.
They're 12 inches in diameter and you throw them on a record player.
Or, Dennis, are you ready? If you have 45s.
45s? Oh, my goodness. 45 must be bigger than the other ones, though, right?
And
because the other ones run at 33 and a third, so. I'm just saying, you know. It's Now, Dana, of course, you know what LP stands for, right?
You know, all these years, I sure do not. Oh, hold on. Actually, let me think. Nope. I do not know all these years.
Well, obviously this goes back into the days of how records all started, you know?
Like how they're made?
Well, how they're made and how long they play for. So LP stands for long playing.
Okay.
Because the idea was, okay, 45s, everyone might have an idea what a 45 looks like. If you've ever seen the opening to Happy Days or you've seen a jukebox, an old jukebox, a 45 is literally one song per side. Mm-hmm. It's 7 or 7.5 inches in diameter.
Yep.
And so it plays at 45 RPM, 45 revolutions per minute. That's why it's called a 45. And you'd have the A side, and then you'd have the B side, which was like the throwaway song sometimes. But obviously, that you can only get one song on. And then when records initially started, they played at 78. So we call them the 78. So that's 78 RPM. That means they ran fast as they spun around. But they also tended to be 10-inch records. And so you couldn't get a whole lot of music on those. Now, maybe, you know, you look at some old jazz music. Some of those albums are kind of short to start with, right? Maybe you could get enough music on them. But, you know, that's when at some point the record companies, and I don't know all the details on this. I'm sure it's in one of my 7 or 8 books on records, decided that they wanted to get more music on an album. So they switched to a larger format, the 12-inch records. And they switched to a slower speed. Because conceivably, if you spin a record slower, that needle goes around slower. And if you pack the little track a little closer to each other, you can get more music out of it. So now, you know, you had the modern era of music where a rock and roll album could be, you know, 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Maybe 50. If you were shorter, then actually they could make the groove deeper on the record, so you have more dynamics. That's all part of how they cut a record, in a sense. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen it, people ought to find that on like a How It's Made show or something like that to see the intricacies of how you make an actual vinyl record. Because, again, this is how music started. And there was at one point, I don't think it's called American Fidelity, but there was a double album thing that everyone knows Jack White, right? White Stripes.
Mm-hmm. White Stripes.
All that. Mr. Guitar Player, Mr. owns his own record pressing plant up in Detroit, although I think he was moving or expanding to Memphis or Nashville. He did this project years ago, not too many years ago, in L.A., where he, one of the older studios here in L.A. that kind of was defunct, little place too, right? He brought in the original equipment that they would use to, in a sense, make like an instant record recording. You know, this would have been like pre-audio tape days. And so it was literally this contraption that had this platter that they would have a cutting needle cutting the record as it spun around. And some guy was watching with a little magnifier and making sure it's working. And it was all worked off of, instead of electricity, a gigantic weight on a pendulum, a little like a grandfather clock. And he recorded a variety of artists, from Beck to Elton John to like a soul singing gospel choir, and sometimes different combinations, using a microphone from that era also. Mm-hmm. And so you'd kind of have to, they showed it like with Beck when he was doing his, and Beck, of course, you know, a little more out there on the artist side, right? Mm-hmm. You had like a group of singers. You'd have to space yourself accordingly to the microphone because it was only one microphone. They get picked up properly. Mm-hmm. And then they put it out as albums. And they put it out as CDs. So I got the CD collection of that. But it was like Americana kind of music. But there was like some rappers doing some newer style rap, but in a very acoustic way. It was all very acoustic.
Okay. And I think I am familiar with the album because I believe Nas is one of the artists.
Yes.
That's on.
Yeah. Nas is on that. It's at least a double CD or more. But again, I guess it was a whole physical operation of cutting that lacquer plate or whatever they call it, that mm-hmm. then they would, in a sense, make a pressing of. Mm-hmm. And then from there, they would make another pressing out of like metal till you finally had yourself one that you could use to actually press records. That's why they call it a press. And it's a vinyl press. They have this little biscuit that looks like a hockey puck of hot vinyl.
Okay.
That gets shoved on to a mat that's got on the bottom image of a record. And then on the top, another one. And you just literally just go squeezing the two things together till the stuff squirts out the side.
Okay.
So, more of a esoteric Americana for you guys all every week here.
Something new. You know what? That's yes. awesome, though, because you never know what you'll get when you listen.
That's true.
A lesson on how vinyl is created and, you know, conspiracy theories on the FAFSA application. It's something new.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this show has it all, everybody. That's why we're going to have to take a... We're just going to have to take another musical interlude to get out of this subject, I think, Dana. We're just going to have to. All right, and now we are back for our last segment of the show, our last sip segment. Get that last bit of whatever you were drinking that I forgot to ask you about in, Dana. What were you drinking this morning?
This morning, I got... So before, I was all about the mint tea with a shot of, you know, mint syrup, right?
Yes.
So now I'm on this thing where it's sparkling water with lemon.
Sparkling water and lemon.
Sparkling water with lemon, yes.
How perfect. A nice thing to keep your whole throat clear and ready to go.
Yeah, right?
I got you. I got you.
It's nice and refreshing.
Yeah.
I like it. How about yourself?
Lemon tea. Little lemon tea. Sweetened. Not too sweet.
So see, it's we're not on like the same page sweet. Here.
Yeah.
We like the lemon. We like the freshness and the tartness.
Yeah, I do. You know, I was going to, you know, I kind of teeter between that. I've got mango hibiscus, which doesn't have the caffeine, but I wasn't worried about that in the morning. Kind of need that caffeine at this point of the day. Or the raspberry, you know, tea, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'll start switching over to the sparkling water.
Yeah, you know.
And see how that works.
I love it. I can't get enough of it.
I got you. Yeah, we're going to have to actually start brewing some coffee at some point here.
At some point, you know. Yes. Yes, I agree with you. Maybe we could do it during the live stream.
We could do that because we'll need that midday pickup for everybody, right? That'll work. We could do that. Yeah, no doubt. Well, Dana, we're at the last part of the show here. Any I dare you twos you want to throw out there to people?
Well, you know, we talked about it during the pre-show. So right now, I finally got delivered from Reno 911. Thank you,
okay.
Jesus. Okay. But now I am, as you said, rightly, gorging on Adventure Time.
Uh-huh. Adventure Time. One of my favorite... actual cartoons out there. Between the artwork and the fact that you know, those who haven't seen it, I don't know where do you is that through the Netflix world or something else?
No, another conglomerate.
Another conglomerate that's
it has a O and a B and an H.
Oh, okay, I got you. So like paid, definitely a paid service.
Yes, yes.
Because in the olden days, I think I saw it for semi-free on my regular like Cartoon Network stuff, right?
Okay.
But yes.
Yeah, back in the day. Uh-huh.
Yes.
But, and you know, the thing is, Dennis, every time I would see it, I would just pass it. You know, because Finn, you know, he looks... Because I actually thought it was just for little kids.
Oh, okay.
You know? And then all of a sudden, I see it on this streaming service that I pay for.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, man, I remember I used to see commercials or I used to see this advertised back in the day. Let me just check it out. And sure enough, the first episode hooked me.
Yeah.
I'm all about this show right now.
Yeah, I never watched them quite in any particular order, but I did buy, and I'm showing Dana my big Adventure Time art book called The Art of Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? O-O-O.
Mm-hmm.
And it had an introduction by Guillermo del Toro.
Hey, get that, huh? Nice.
But what I always liked about the show was, unlike some cartoons that just try to be edgy or whatever for whatever reason, this show, as much as there was like a little bit of anxiety somewhere in the show because something was happening, you know, at the end everyone was like friends and it was all everyone, you know, there wasn't this whole, you know, need to make everyone scared kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. There's always some type of or always is some type of resolution.
Exactly. Right? There's resolution, mm-hmm. and even the scariest mm-hmm. people on the show aren't that scary. You know?
And I think that's important. For me, the underlying message is, you know, people are multifaceted. You can't mm-hmm. just, you know, assume that they're one way. Like you're saying, that's one thing that I are the message that I like
yes.
in the characters. Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah. it's definitely, if you have not seen Adventure Time, everybody
check
go
it out.
Go find it. One of those.
You might, but I would say maybe yeah. For those of you listening, if you have young children, maybe watch a couple episodes on your own and then decide if you want to exactly. watch with your kids.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Dana, that's about all we have time for today. Amazingly, we didn't do almost anything, it feels like, but we did something. So I want to thank you for co-hosting here with me today on What's Brewing, CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
Find this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts. If you want to find us through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. For those using Apple devices, open your podcast app and search for CISFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean as one word. And you can find us on Spotify, Pandora, and iHeartRadio. And lastly, you can listen to us through the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
And this has been episode number 65, recorded the morning of Friday, February 19th, 2021.
Have a great day.
And have a great weekend, everyone.